Appreciate the prayer. Ask you please just to need your prayers this morning. You know, sometimes you wake up and you've got something on your mind and the Lord has been keeping it with you all week or whatever, and then sometimes you wake up and the Lord has changed what he's had on your mind. And I pray that the Lord will be in the service. I hope you were paying attention to those words that we sang as the opening song, that my Lord, I did not choose you. Because I didn't. We didn't. It says, my Lord, I did not choose you, for that could never be. My heart would still refuse you had you not chosen me. You took the sin that stained me, you cleansed me, you made me new. Of old you have ordained me that I should live in you. Now there's more through that song, and that whole song, I love it so much. But the point is, my Lord, I did not choose you. Are you thankful that the Lord chose you? Because if he hadn't, we would never know him. When's the last time you thanked the good Lord for even allowing us to know him? Allowing us to feel his presence with us. Allowing us to meet together and have that one mind that we can meet together and feel the presence of the Lord here. We need to be a thankful people. You know, children of God should be the most thankful, most joyous people on this planet. If we keep in memory these things, we can be a more of a mind of a thankful heart and a more praising in our heart. And every time we come together to sing, we'll be wanting to burst forth with song. I've heard some people say, you don't want to hear me sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. It doesn't matter. If your heart is filled with praises, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. People sitting next to you may not think it's such a joyful noise, but if there's tears flowing from your eyes, you're enjoying yourself, you're wanting to praise the Lord as best you possibly can, that is acceptable praise. And if anybody has a problem with it, you can come see me after the service. It's acceptable praise. But my Lord, I did not choose you. If we'll turn me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we as Primitive Baptists, we hold to the doctrine of original sin. Original sin, where did it come from? How did it happen? The original fall of man. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Says, wherefore, as by one man, that would be Adam, for wherefore as for one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam sinned in the garden, he plunged all of his prosperity into sin. That means for it's passed from person to person, generation to generation, no matter who's born, except one, remember. That's the reason the Lord Jesus had to be born in a certain way. He had to be born of a virgin. That was a sign, right? And boy, what a sign that was. But the Lord Jesus had to come into this world a special way to be sinless. But as for wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. So we have that to the original sin. Once Adam sinned, that sin was passed on down through history. And we deal with it on a daily basis. That old sin nature that I have with me all the time. There's nothing I can do about that sin nature as far as getting rid of it until my change comes. Whether I pass the scene of this life or the Lord comes first. Whichever one. But I don't have to give in to it. I don't have to listen to it. But it's with me all the time. You know, some people talk about that angel and that devil that's on your shoulder. You know, whatever you need to do to get a visual of it. But old sin nature makes me want to do things. Makes me want to do things that are contrary to the will of God. And as far as that choosing the Lord, my sin nature will never choose God. He said, my heart would still refuse you. And it would. And it does. You know, you ever heard that phrase, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Those times are, I know I need to be reading. Those times I know I need to be studying the Bible or doing something for others or praying for one another. And the times that I choose not to, I allow things to get in the way or I'm too busy. I'm giving in to that old sin nature. I'm giving in to those. And I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm as guilty as anybody. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's weak in the point of not wanting to follow the Lord, but sometimes it can sound pretty strong. Especially on a Sunday afternoon, you get home, had a good meal at lunch, you know, sit down on the couch. I don't want to do anything. Get home from work, you know, it's been a hard day. I don't want to do anything. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting rest. But if there's something we need to be doing, if there's something we could be doing in service to the Lord, something we need to be doing as far as putting Him first, we need to get back to a point where we're putting a priority on serving Him. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Brothers and sisters, don't we know that if we put the Lord first, whatever we're trying to do, as long as it's with the will of God, He's going to help us. If you're trying to do your best at work, if you're trying to do your best at your job and trying to serve them and trying to be a good employee, but putting the Lord first, praying early in the morning, reading some of His scriptures, keeping it in our mind, brothers and sisters, He'll be with you during the day, helping you along the way, helping you to be a prosperous person. Well, with my family, sometimes families take, you know, hey, I got kids, man. You don't have a clue how many hard times it is. The Lord knows. And He's promised that if you put Him first, He will help you and bless your family. If you do not believe me, if you don't believe that, try it out. Lord said to prove Him. Try Him out. Put your faith and trust in Him. And serve Him. Take up that cross and follow Him. Try Him out. And see if it's not so. But we have that old sin nature about us. It's here. It's with us. There's another song in that book. I can't remember the number, but I think Elder Michael Goins wrote the words to it. He said, my flesh is my closest foe. It's with us all the time. So with that flesh side, my sin nature, I would never choose to serve the Lord. I would never seek the Lord. I would never try to find Him. I would never even want to hear anything about Him. But something happened. Something happened that makes me want to follow the Lord. Something happens that I know Him. Something happened that makes me feel that I want to follow after Him. And too often times, we hear in this life, and I'm not trying to be derogatory, but so many times we hear in this life, that all you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And He'll take care of all of your problems. If you'll just accept Him. Brothers and sisters, I'm tired of this world painting a picture of my Savior standing at the door, weeping His eyes out, begging the sinner, please accept me. Please, will you just take what I've had to offer? That's not my God. That's not the God of heaven. God of heaven is a God of purpose. He purposed before the very foundation of this world to save a people. And you know, if He purposed to save those people are safe. They are secure. Nothing's going to separate them from the love of God. They're okay. They're fine. When we're talking about saving in this life, you remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter would say, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Brethren, we need that timely saving on a day-to-day basis. We need the Lord to watch over us. We need to follow Him and keep us in the right way. But that eternal salvation, That is secure. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. According. This is before the very foundation of the world. We can also go to, I think it's 1 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. He starts that verse by saying elect. God has an elected people. A chosen people. We read about according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Peter says elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That foreknowledge is that knowledge that he had aforetime. And it's not just a knowledge of somebody. It's that intimate knowledge. He knows us individually. Down to every single aspect of us. Knows the very intents of our heart. And he set his love upon that people before the very foundation of this world. So when we hear the thing, but all you need to do is accept. I'm a fallen sinner. In my fallen state, I would never choose the Lord. Something has to happen first. And back in Romans, if we go to Romans back to Romans 5. This time, we're going to read Romans 5 and 6. Romans 5 and 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." For when we were yet without strength. Yet without strength? What does that mean? Didn't have the strength to follow after the Lord. Didn't have the ability. We're spiritually discerned. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Dead in trespasses and sins. I've had somebody tell me one time they drew a little stick figure of somebody down in a pit. And Jesus is up top and he's throwing a rope down there. Just grab the rope and I'll pull you out of that pit. Well, you need to change that. That stick figure needs to be laying down. Because it's dead. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. I don't know if you ever heard Elder Jeff Winfrey, but he's got a slogan that says, "The dead don't do." The dead don't do. Dead man's not going to accept anything. Dead man is dead. If something's dead, it can't be reaching out and grabbing something. It can't say anything, can't speak. It has no life. It is dead. Because we're spiritually discerned. But I rejoice in Ephesians chapter 2, the first thing says, "And you hath he quickened." Quickened. Until you hear the life-giving voice of the Son of God come into your heart, quicken your soul. That's when you can start responding. Because he is giving you life. I know we're flipping around a lot, but just try to bear with me, try to stay with me. In John chapter 6. No, excuse me, John chapter 3. We'll go to John chapter 6 later. John chapter 3. Like I said, this kind of came to me this morning, so y'all please bear with me and ask the Lord to bless us. John chapter 3, this is when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he came to him by night. In verse 3, Jesus answered, verse 2, it says, that same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, you can't do that. That's just not how it happens. Verse 5, Jesus answers, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, too often times we hear this talking about the kingdom of God. People nowadays still think there is a kingdom to come. They still think that Jesus has to come back and set up his kingdom around here in this world and reign for 1,000 years. That's not in the Bible. The kingdom he's reigning is now. The kingdom of God we have is now, right here. This time that we meet together in his presence, brothers and sisters, we can spend time in the kingdom. But unless we're born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God, nor would we want to see the kingdom of God, nor would we want to even be close to the kingdom of God. Remember the song said, My Lord, I did not choose you. Before he acts upon us, that would be my mindset. I would still be in that mindset of I would not choose you, Lord. But he says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto ye, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell where it comes and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I can't give you the time or date where I was born again. I can't tell you I had this experience where a bright light came to me and the Lord spoke to me and I heard his voice. I just remember at a young age, I knew that I loved the Lord. There was a lot of things I didn't understand, but I can't tell you the time that I was born again. There's some people that probably can pinpoint a time where they may have been born again. I don't know. But until the Lord does that, there is no love of God within us. We care nothing for the things of the Spirit. Because we're born in the flesh, unless we're born of the Spirit, we're not in the Spirit. So those that are just born, you're born. But until you're born again, now, here's the one for you. John the Baptist rejoiced at the sound of Mary's voice in his mother's womb. That brother was born again before he was born. Now, if you can wrap your head around that, let me know. I need to know. But the thing about it is, born of the Spirit of God dwelling within you, until the Lord's blessed you with His Spirit, you'll never choose to follow Him. You'll never want to follow Him. You have no desire of the things of God. So Nicodemus didn't quite understand this. And verse 9 says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earnestly the things that you believe not. How shall you believe that if I tell you of heavenly things? Aren't you thankful that the Lord has blessed us with some of the knowledge? Once He's blessed us with His Spirit, brother and sister, we're able to receive the things of God. We're able to receive the preaching of the gospel. We're able to hear. It's almost like that radio. If you take that receiver out, you won't be able to receive any signal. Just the same thing. When we're born of the Spirit, it's almost like we get that receiver, blessed receiver. I'd be dangerous. Where we can be blessed to receive the spiritual things of God. But until then, until that time, we're spiritually discerned, and we would never choose the Lord. Over in 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul writes and says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." That natural man, before he's born again, before the Spirit of God touches and tenders his heart, he cannot receive the things of God, neither can he know them. That's the thing about it. Until the Lord touches and tenders somebody's heart, I can preach until I'm blue in the face and they'll never receive anything of it. But I need to preach it anyway. I need to start talking to them anyway. I need to tell them and I need to show forth that love that God has put in my heart towards them. Because even the unregenerate, the unborn again, they still have a memory. Maybe the Lord will bless them later down in their life. Maybe the Lord will touch and tender their heart later on. And when they do, they need to remember where they felt that love from. So that is why it's so important in a church that we have that love flowing one to another. We have that one common mind one to another, that we can show forth that love, letting that light shine. So when people come and visit, they see that light. They see and they feel that warmth and that love there, and they want to come back. But that's why it's important for us to do that everywhere we go. Because even somebody who is spiritually discerned still has a memory. We don't know when the Lord will bless them. We don't know when the Lord's going to touch and tender their heart. We don't know when the Lord's going to reach down and change that heart. Take that old heart of flesh, and that stony heart out, and put it in a heart of flesh, one that's soft and tender towards Him. And He can hear those spiritual things. He'll be able to receive the things of the Spirit. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Natural man thinks that the things of the Spirit are just foolishness. And there's already enough people out there that think coming to church on Sunday morning is foolish. They think it's a waste of time. But when the Lord touches and tenders your heart, realizing the condition that I'm in, realizing where He brought me from, coming to church, that's not a duty, right? That's a privilege. I get to come to church. Never let it be known, gotta go today. I say that about work sometimes. Gotta go to work. Gotta go do this, gotta go do that. No, we have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. We have the blessed opportunity to be amongst God's people. But until the Lord touches and tenders our heart, we'd never choose to come. We'd never see the love that's being shown here. That's why that song says, "Lord, I'd still refuse you had you not chosen me." So we know the natural man receiveth not. Of course, they're spiritually discerned. That's like the natural man is talking about, "My Lord, I would not choose you. I did not choose you. Because I didn't even know you until you worked on me first." But even then, when the Lord does touch and tender our heart, we still can make choices. What choices are we going to make? Are we going to follow the Spirit? Or are we going to follow the flesh? That's up to us. So oftentimes I lose that battle, think about it later, I have to get down on my knees and beg for forgiveness. Lord, you've been so good to me. I'm so bad, so forgetful, so lazy. We need to remember the good things that the Lord has given us. Back over in Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened. That's when that born again. That's when the Lord touches and tenders your heart. Quickens that spirit within you. So, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, walking in the fleshly side, walking in the after ungodly counsel, seeking after those things that's filling the flesh. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, and the fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and in the mind, and were the nature, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the condition that we were in first. Verse 4. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. So many times we're harping on the, you know, Primitive Baptists, we don't believe in works. There's not a works doctrine, this and that. We don't believe in works. We don't believe in works getting us to heaven, because if it was relying upon my works to get myself through those pearly gates, brothers and sisters, I'll never reach it. I wouldn't even get to the threshold. It's not by me. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace you're saved, and grace alone. By Jesus Christ, him coming to this world and paying my debt, going to the cross and accepting the punishment from God the Father. So by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So when we hear somebody says, well, all you have to do is believe, all you have to do is accept, all you have to do is this. No, it's grace and grace alone, not grace but. If it was rely upon me to do something, doesn't that stand to reason it would allow that I could have something to do to lose it? If I could do something to gain my eternal salvation, that would stand to reason I'd have something to lose it by as well. But we can never be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Never be separated. You know, you can go and turn Romans 8 and you can read about that long list he's got about all those things that can come around, but nothing can separate it. It's even got a catch-all in there, nor any other creature. Well, that catches everything, doesn't it? Nor any other creature. I've often heard that the whole thing of scourge of suicide. Somebody says that's the unpardonable sin. What kind of a comfort is that to a family member if they hear that garbage? The scriptures say that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And it said, nor any other creature. I am his creature. He is the creator. I cannot separate myself Death cannot separate me from the love of God. Nothing else can separate me from the love of God. It's by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the work, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not of works to get me into heaven, but don't turn the page. Read verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." As Brother Dixon prayed, that we should walk in them. Those good works that we need to be doing on a daily basis. Brothers and sisters, if the Lord has touched and tendered our heart, as the Lord has opened that door to you and opened your eyes that you can see Him and know Him and see the beautiful things of God, we need to be walking after Him as best as we possibly can. Seeing how we can be a service in the kingdom. See how we can better ourselves to know Him more. Read His scriptures and follow His commandments. Isn't that how we tell the Lord we love Him? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Every time we keep the commandments of God, we're telling Him we love Him. And how are we going to know His commandments if we're not reading His Word? You know, this day and age, the Word of God has never been so readily available. We've got Bibles in printed form. We've got Bibles on phones, screens, laptops, tablets, iPads, iPhones, whatever. They've even got programs where to read it to you. You know, those names that I don't know how to pronounce or whatever. Somebody knows how to pronounce them and they can read them and you can read along with it. I mean, it's so readily available. There's no excuse not having the Word of God around. But how many times are we not availing ourselves to it? Again, my Lord, I did not choose you. You know, it's one thing for us to be in our old sin nature, not choosing the Lord. But after He's quickened us together with Him, after He's blessed us to know Him, after He's blessed us with these spiritual blessings, and we still say, "My Lord, I did not choose you today. I chose to do something else today. I chose to go my own way." That should be convicting. It is convicting to me. Those times where I said, "My Lord, I do not choose you today. I'm going to do something else." Why do I still do that? That flesh is still my closest foe. I still have it with me all the time. It's still a struggle. It's still an upward battle. The war is won. Jesus Christ won the war and the victory on the cross. But there's still battles to be fought here in this life. So let it never be known amongst us that we don't choose the Lord. We need to be choosing Him each and every day. And it is a choice. It is a choice to choose the Lord or not. You remember when Joshua was giving his farewell address to the children of Israel? He said, "If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom thou wilt serve." But he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I pray that that's my motto each and every day. Me and my house will serve the Lord. Because it's important. I want my children to know that it's important for us to serve the Lord. I want them to know it's not a burden to go to church. It's not a burden to read His Word. No, His commandments are not grievous. He hasn't called us to do any great things. He even summed the Ten Commandments up. Can you believe that? Us as people, right? First man and woman that was on the face of this planet, they were given one commandment and couldn't keep that. So then we had 10 commandments, couldn't keep that. Have you seen the laws that we have on the books nowadays? They're just like
volumes and volumes of laws and volumes and volumes. We just keep finding ways of breaking laws, and we keep finding ways and loopholes around this and around that. That's our nature. That's our sin nature that's coming out. But even Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments in two. Love God and love one another. His commandments are not grievous. Love the Lord and love one another. So every time we decide to love the Lord, every time we keep His commandments, every time we love one another, every time we see about one another, pray for one another, try to do good things towards one another, showing forth that love one to another, that's when we're saying, Lord, I choose You today. I choose You today. For those times when we decide to walk after the flesh, not doing the things of the Spirit, you know, I'm just too busy, I can't read my Bible today, I can't serve the Lord, I can't come to church, whatever the reasons are, and it doesn't really matter. You know yourself better than I do, because I know me, I know my reasonings. We're saying, I do not choose You. And remember, in that fallen state, my heart would still refuse You. Think about somebody that you love and you care for, that you cherish, that you want to spend time with them, that your heart would just be broken if they were to be gone. And that person loves you back. How much more does our Heavenly Father care for us? How much more does He love us? How much more is He with us? He's blessed us to know that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The blessings that we receive from His hand, we can rely on Him. We can trust in Him. Nothing's going to slip through His fingers. We're secure in Him. Because we know that, let us choose this day. Lord, I do choose You. Lord, I do choose You, not this world. So for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We need to be doing those good works. We need to be letting that light shine. Like in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's one of those things we need to be doing. We need to be showing forth that love one to another. And that love that we're having one to another is supposed to be that charity. That love in action, right? Not just saying I love you and not doing anything about it. That's having love for one another, right? You can have love for somebody and never show it. But if you're having that love one to another, you're showing it. And that's what charity, love in action. But we are secure in Christ. Do you remember 2 Timothy 2:19? Paul was writing to Timothy. He was talking about some that were preaching a false doctrine, preaching about the resurrection had already come, you know, and overthrowing the faith of some. Some people's faith were shaken. But Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Are His. You remember over in Ephesians, we read, according as He had chosen us before the foundation of the world, Peter talks about the foreknowledge of God. Paul writes in a Hebrew, Roman letter, the foreknowledge of God, the predestination of God. All this is talking about to elect people that he has. And we are secure in him. Because it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you know the Lord, if the Lord has blessed you to know him, if the Lord has touched and tendered your heart, been gracious to you, brothers and sisters, today we need to choose him. And not like, my Lord, I did not choose you. Choose him. Be like Joshua and say, as for me and my house. You know, I have very little influence over this world. I have very little influence over other people. But one aspect of my life that I can have a great influence over is my family. I can choose to be a miserable excuse of a father and not be a good example. I could choose to do that, or I could choose to follow the Lord, try to let the Lord guide me, try to let the Lord, you know, let the Lord, His Word be my guide and follow after Him and choose to serve Him each and every day. And show them this is important. Show them this is how you can have that blessed life. I love thinking about that, having that blessed life. Not necessarily in a life on Easy Street, but you can have a blessed life. A life that's filled with joy and peace. You may not have much money, but you can have joy and peace. I tell you, there's no price on peace. When there's no peace in the household, it's a miserable time. When there's no peace, it's not a good place to be. But when we have a church that is filled with families who are following after the Lord, when we have a church that is filled with families who have decided to choose to follow the Lord each and every day, that's where you're going to have peace. That's going to be peace in that church. That peace in those families. And that peace could overflow these walls and reach out into the community. That's how we can be that shining light, that shining beacon. Showing forth that love one to another each and every day. So that song, My Lord, I Did Not Choose You. Verse 3 says, your love had been forever, from all eternity. Its drawing power never shall be withdrawn from me. I feel that I am kept by the strength of love divine. And when I awake in heaven, all glory shall be thine. Beautiful words to think about. My Lord, I did not choose you. But because he chose me, it's my time to turn that around and say, Lord, I do choose you today. Choose you this day whom thou wilt serve. The Lord said you cannot serve two masters. You just can't do it. It's not going to work. You can serve two masters just as easily as you could walk in two different directions at the same time. It doesn't work. So choose you this day whom thou wilt serve. And maybe we can sing, my Lord, I did choose you because you chose me. Thank you for you. May the Lord bless you.